Blog Talk Radio.
I have to admit that I've always been curious about Caucasian women. And it doesn't mean to say that white is right and that sisters aren't beautiful. Sisters are beautiful too. But, hey, I mean, I was curious, so I just jumped on it.
Literally.
Yes, indeedy. I mean, hey, I mean, that doesn't mean to say that because a brother is with a white girl that he's less down. I mean, less progressive. I mean, I'm still very pro-black.
You're black, all right.
Yes, well, my shit is correct. Very correct.
We got a big problem. You and her. The both of you's got the fever.
The what?
The fever. The both of you's got jungle fever.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos, where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Spike Lee tells Wesley Snipes, yeah, you're black, all right. Folks, again, 1991's Jungle Fever, a classic, definitely. You can still pick it up on Netflix or buy it on DVD. It may even be on Blu-ray. Welcome once again, folks, the Midweek Review program or segment of Afro Nerd Radio, a.k.a. Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. The time, 7.02 p.m. We only have about an hour, so we have a lot to get into, folks. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. 9620. Let's hear a skosh. Let's hear a swatch. Let's hear a node of some funk from the master, perhaps my favorite artist. This is Prince Live. Well, you know, it's always Prince. Prince Live. Get this, folks. Get Wild and Ain't Nobody. Chaka Khan's classic, Ain't Nobody. Mash up together live. Prepare yourselves. This is not Drake. This is real music. Let's groove.
Good morning, good morning. What we like to do right now? These are the days, y'all. Perhaps, perhaps not.
Boom!
That's the way it was. That's been so naturally.
From the master, Prince Rogers Nelson. That was a mashup live, I believe, from Australia earlier this year. That was Get Wild plus the Chaka Khan classic, Ain't Nobody. Folks, I'm not playing with you. I'm thinking of Carter G. Woodson's Miseducation of the Negro. I think that's my purpose here. I have to re-educate you black folks because you forgot how to do it. Seriously, you can't compare that funk to Drake and Lil Wayne and these non-musicians. Knock it off. I'm telling it to you straight. Stop it. I have gone. Q Storm is in the house, friend of the show. He has gone to Prince concerts. The real centered black folks are attending those concerts. Your fools are attending the lower tier concerts where music is not being played, where they're pretending. They're moving their hands back and forth and smoking weed and pretending. All right. We don't have that much time. I'm getting calls. I can rant, folks, when it comes to this stuff. Again, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. As always, I cannot conduct this show. I cannot steer this ship without my second in command, or perhaps first in command. I'm not into titles. Captain, you're needed on the bridge. Let's get to it.
Well, I have to unmute myself. Shazam! So let's get started.
All right, folks. Again, this is the Midweek in Review segment, and we have quite a few things to get into. I guess the obvious elephant in the room. And I'm going to be brief about this because there's a personal matter. Well, what do you think, Captain? You want to talk about this? I can't call it a debacle. It was a horror show yesterday. Should we get into that, or should we talk about the third and final presidential debates? Pick a card, any card.
Let's talk about the third and final presidential debate. Let's hit that first. We'll get through that very quickly. You know,
okay.
There was definitely a clear winner, so there's nothing really much to talk about.
You think? If you listen to Fox News, not necessarily. And I say that as I always say. I'm saying that from a conservative positioning, but I'm a sane with great sight. Hey, I had laser vision recently, Captain. So I have 20/15 vision. So I can clearly see when someone's behind is being whipped, and yet when you go to Fox, they're in a different universe. I mean, this is when they, you know, listen, I have to give credit where credit is due, that when the progressives came down hard on President Obama the first time, and actually I didn't think he performed that bad. But, you know, when you could do a comparison side-by-side thing, I say, okay, he didn't do his best. But at least they were self-effacing, self-deprecating, right from the jump. And MSNBC, God bless them. I have liken them to being the progressive answer to Fox News. But they came on hard against Obama and said he performed lousy. They admitted that. The folks at Fox, no way. No way. So this was on foreign policy. God bless Governor Romney. He had to sneak in domestic politics. He had to, because we all know that he is lacking in the foreign policy department, in the foreign affairs department. He's lacking in that. So to somehow balance it out, he had to address Obama's quote-unquote failings in the domestic region. So what I want to do, Captain, is I want to pull up a clip. Actually, I have two clips from the Young Turks. And, I mean, listen, they're a solely progressive outfit, and I can't take everything they say for you know, verbatim. But they're entertaining. And, hey, when they call something, you know, if someone calls something correctly, even when the conservatives, to the chagrin of the progressives, on occasion, the conservatives will call out something correctly. This time around, no. No, they're not being honest. They're sorely not being honest. So I want to play this two clips, if time permits, from the Young Turks discussing this thing. Okay, 1 second. Hold on.
Mitt Romney is going to talk about this dumbass line that he always does in regards to the Navy and how we got less ships. I've talked about it on the Young Turks. I was hoping President Obama would hit him at some point. So first, here's the line he's used at least half a dozen times.
Our Navy is older, excuse me, our Navy is smaller now than any time since 1917. The Navy said they needed 313 ships to carry out their mission. We're now down to 285. We're headed down to the low 200s if we go through with sequestration. That's unacceptable to me.
Really? You think our Navy's weaker than it was in 1917? And the whole time I'm thinking this.
Say it! Say it!
Come on, Obama, say it! And boom, he says it.
I think Governor Romney maybe hasn't spent enough time looking at how our military works. You mentioned the Navy, for example, and that we have fewer ships than we did in 1916. Well, Governor, we also have fewer horses and bayonets because the nature of our military has changed. We have these things called aircraft carriers where planes land on them. We have these ships that go underwater, nuclear submarines. And so the question is not a game of battleship where we're counting ships. It's what are our capabilities?
Oh, Sixerlon and suplex and pall driver. Oh, forget about it. You would know about horses and bayonets. Somebody say bayonets.
Bayonets!
I looked into it. The last official bayonet charge that we had in America, the military did, obviously, is in 1951 in Korea. You know, right now, Fox talking about, there's bayonets. Bayonets? Yeah, of course we use bayonets. In fact, let me skip ahead to that. Give me video 22. Sean Hannity here with the weakest sauce that they have served up in a long time on Fox News Channel. Watch this.
Well, U.S. forces were ridden by our troops in Afghanistan, number one. And number two, Marines still use bayonets. So maybe somebody at the White House ought to educate the president on how our military actually works.
No. You just got beat down, and you don't even realize it, man. So, you still use bayonets. I heard somebody use the bayonet the other day. That's not the point, you idiot. Of course our Navy is stronger today than it is in 1917. Yes, we have these things called subs and aircraft carriers, and you're still arguing about whether there's bayonets and horses in the military. And by the way, to be technically accurate, President Obama said we have less bayonets than horses. He didn't say we don't have bayonets. Fox News is so dumb they had an entire article on FoxNews.com talking about, you know, there are some Marines that are still proud that they train on those bayonets. Yeah, Obama. Sometimes they don't even know how stupid they look.
All right. Again, folks, that was the Young Turks. Their quick one of the quick synopsis, I think is the word, on this third and final presidential debate. I want to go to another clip Young Turks a game, and then we'll get back, unpack it. You know, we do what we do. This is the Young Turks a game on the debate. Hold on.
What was the conservative reaction to Romney getting his ass handed to him? Well, some of them on Twitter, before they could recover to their talking points, accidentally tweeted how pissed they were. So David Limbaugh, brother of Rush Limbaugh. Why did these advisors tell Mitt not to go for the jugular? Why? Why? Dick Morris. Why you look at Dick Morris? Romney is not hitting Obama on Israel. Obama's effective when he articulates his policy, but looks horrible when he attacks. Well, it's Dick Morris. He's got to be wrong at the end, right? So does that little jab, but overall admitting Romney's not doing a good job. Laura Ingraham. Romney using kid gloves against Obama tonight. Why? Why? Reminds me of Nancy Kerrigan when she got hit with the lead pipe. Why? S.E. Cup from MSNBC. Obama's making laughable, easily argued points, but Romney's not effectively arguing them. And they're not alone. Here comes Fox News. Now, first, we're going to show you a compilation here, video 23. And watch these guys cry. Now, they will use excuses. When Romney was aggressive, he was strong and assertive. When Obama's aggressive, well, what's Hannity going to call it? But even through all this, you can tell they thought he didn't win. Watch.
How do you determine who won? I hate to use such an expression.
So President Obama won the debate?
No. Nobody won.
Question is, could people at home see Mitt Romney as the president? And I think in all three debates, they could.
A frenetic, at times desperate. Obviously, a president feeling behind tonight and going on the attack. And even at times very petulant and childish compared to a very sober, relaxed, confident Mitt Romney.
By a narrow margin, narrower than the second debate, people thought Obama, quote, won the debate.
They gave the president a little nod on foreign policy in terms of what he said.
Only Mitt Romney on that stage tonight looked, spoke, and acted like a president.
Thus, the desperation that really came across in this debate on behalf of Obama.
I was not going to get into the back and forth, na-na-na sort of childish game.
Romney didn't engage on Libya and didn't engage on anything, all right? No. He didn't win the debate.
And really, the president seems to have gotten a pass once again.
Well, there just wasn't enough time, I believe, for Romney.
There's a lot that I felt that Governor Romney could have been brought up if he wanted to go.
Unfortunately, Romney just didn't have time.
Romney, while he may have, quote, lost the debate, looked like a commander-in-chief.
I was sitting there watching this thinking, oh, thank you, Mr. Community Organizer.
Because, again, it came across as just a little pompous at times.
Petulant, little angry, I felt.
Louis XIV masquerading as the President of the United States.
I think this is my...
All right, time constraints, folks. I think you get the message. Captain, quickly, we don't really have that much time. These hour show have just fly by. Quick thoughts on this, quick impressions of Monday's debate, and also what you just heard with Fox News?
Well, essentially, this is what Obama needed to do the first time that he did not do. I think he totally destroyed Romney in this debate. In the second debate, you know, in my opinion, Obama did very well. He defeated Romney. In the first debate, I would say that Romney had the edge. He wasn't blown away, more or less, as, you know, everyone turned around and said. But pertaining to this debate right here, Obama did what he had to do. That's what we expect from Obama. He made Romney look like a little child. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what grown-ups do when you're dealing with children. You are the child, I'm the adult, and that's what he did here. Now, the question is whether or not does this carry over to on election day. If you listen to the polls, you know, according to the polls, they're saying that, you know, Romney still has gained some ground and everything else. But we'll finally find out on election day. But clearly stated, Obama won this here. And based on what the Turks said here, they made fun of, you know, Fox News and everything else, which we always do, which I always do at least, you know, Fox News. I think what the Turks did, the Young Turks, did a great job showing that these people were very pro-Romney. And then they turn into spin doctors, meaning which they spin the story according to how they want, and that's not really what's happening. So back over to you, Sir Affleck.
Yes, well, when you do a little bit of broadcasting, you see, even on our end, on the internet side of things, you see how people are able to kind of twist things. And if you're not really a knowledgeable person, I mean, I implore our listenership to do the due diligence, to do the research. You don't necessarily have to believe everything that we give you. We try to give you the information. Sure, we have our spin per se, but we do try to back up with facts. And I really applaud those who challenge us or have a different opinion. It makes for good radio. But we don't try to give you our opinion, and that opinion is necessarily fact. We try to give you reasoned debate, per se, with the facts. But the way that Fox News was going about it, it seemed to be just a complete delusional thing here. You have to be self-effacing sometimes. It comes off a lot more fair. I have to be self-deprecating at times with this show. I can't always be, quote-unquote, the man. Fox might say that that's staying on message. There's a method to that. There's a logic to it, I guess, but it's being disingenuous to the audience. You know, sometimes you're going to have to give up and say, okay, you got us this time. You got us this time. They never do that. And you saw, and it comes off quite foolish, because one thing I have to admit, in looking at President Obama, and I even spoke to Mr. Starks again from the Honor Guard, who has been affiliated with the show in the past. We were speaking, and we had to admit, well, first of all, we really need Obama to be there for a second term. Not so much about his politics, because I'm not a wholesale progressive person. I'm not into wholesale progressive politics. But I think symbolically, image-wise, if you really want to go there, we are inundated with so much secondhand black folks. I'm going to be just blunt with you. Secondhand people of color that are not doing the damn thing. We have plenty that are. We have plenty that are, and we highlight that on this show. That's the purpose of the show, Captain Kirk, as you know. But I feel like we need this man to be, and his family, to be that beacon to offset the coonery. So we have a personal investment with this man being there. If he loses, we'll deal with that. But it is important for him to maintain his positioning and power. And when you see him dismantle Mitt Romney on a cerebral level, he is someone to be reckoned with. It cannot be denied. It is a beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen, to see black intelligence, black genius, black Machiavellian precepts being put forth for the world to see. It is imperative. When Q-Storm, I saw you out there. He said, be easy on the throttle. First of all, I drive a Corvette, so I'm not easy on the throttle. I don't do that. I love sports cars as an analogy, so I'm not going to be easy on the throttle. I'm going to hit you folks hard because I am sick of it. Just being honest. So we need Obama. If he loses, we will deal with that. But I thought he performed on a stellar level Monday, and it is important to see intellectualism, black intellectualism, on the world stage. We have to see that. Everyone wants to see that, and that is a threat to people. Lil Wayne and that crew, they do not threaten anyone. I said, well, how can you mention these people in the same sentence? Because it's all imagery. It's all symbolism. Captain, we're going to go to a musical break. What are your thoughts quickly? Am I out of pocket? Am I making any sense? Or I'm just rambling.
No, you make a lot of sense. You make a lot of sense. You're right on point. You're right on point.
But I'm on the throttle, Q. I'm on the throttle. I don't let off.
Let's go into a musical break.
All right, folks. Just kidding, Q. Listen, this is a song used as a sample. You'll probably recognize it. Hey, this is Urban Alternative Music. This is Seals and Cross. Seals and Cross. Classic. Sweet Green Fields. See if you recognize the sample. Let's groove.
Thank you. looking through the eyes of truth, I see faith in love in you, and all else time for life to do. My dream is gone, the pain of hope is gone. Looking up the sleep of confidence, I've jumped down from the fence. Been a long time since I've felt this way. Togetherness, this time I must confess, this day is the very best. My fear is gone, straight up on this road.
Okay, enough of that. Again, folks, that was Seals and Cross, and if I'm pretty sure you recognize that beat. That was actually Busta Rhymes used that sample for "Put Your Hands Where Your Eyes Can See," and I love that song. I like Busta Rhymes. I don't know about what he's doing now. He seems to have gone in a different direction, kind of in a gangsterish way. And there's talent there on his part. But before I knew who did this, who the original musicians on this. And I heard that beat. I was like, whoa, where did this beat come from? And then when you do the due diligence, I listen to all kinds of music. Again, the Afro-Nerd listens to Seals and Cross. So I listen from Busta Rhymes to Seals and Cross, to Prince, to Miles Davis, to Duke Ellington. I listen to everything, everybody. So a little bit of music education. Seals and Cross, let's move forward. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. You know, folks, I'm sure for the last month or two, our audience has been keenly aware that I have been calling a fellow broadcaster by the name of Rob Redding. He has a show called Rob Redding, The Rob Redding Show, and he has a newspaper/webzine called the Redding News, reddingnews.com, reddingnews.com, or reddingnewsreport.com. You can definitely Google this. And I like him. I like what he does. But he has a certain type of radio that he does, a certain brand that he does. He is a self-described independent, so I can appreciate that. So he will lambaste Republicans equally with progressives. Anyway, I will call him because I think there's a kindred spirit there on occasion. On occasion, I do sense a kindred spirit. This time around, not so much. I called up earlier this week, and it was to talk about this matter with a young lady who was allegedly burned. Well, I think she was burned, not really allegedly, but the circumstances behind her being burned leaned towards a Klan, a KKK involvement. But when I heard the circumstances of the story, because we do discernment here, we're very much into discerning things here at AfroNerd, and I think our audience is starting to do that as well. I didn't trust the story. But I saw the passion. I heard the passion from Mr. Redding's listenership about we've got to get these guys. How dare they accost our women? There was early stories that she might have been wearing an Obama T-shirt, that these were hooded men. They didn't really go to race. They didn't mention race right away. But when you hear hooded men, now the reality is, the first thing I heard was they were wearing white hoodies. Just like wifey is not quite a wife, a hoodie is not quite a hood. But this is what goes on in my analytical mind. But I didn't go there when I called up. I didn't go there. But I did have a problem with the passion towards interracial violence. And, you know, this is what we talk about here, folks. This is nothing new. But I did not like the passion coming from black folk about interracial violence and not equal time for intraracial violence. I think it's disingenuous. I just do. And I think the logic is so searing, folks. I think the logic is so searing. I am dumbfounded by how some black folks are comfortable with just dismissing it. You know, I saw a news report, I believe Diane Sawyer has a report. You can go to Google, you can go to, unfortunately, you can go to World Star Hip Hop, and there's a 7-minute segment of her reaching out to the gangbangers, black and brown gangbangers in Chicago. And they showed a little boy, I'll call him a young man, but he's a young man now. He's around 7 or 8, but I'm going to call him a young man because of the circumstances. He's not just a little boy. His grandmother was killed while just simply standing in front of her home. Senseless violence. More shrapnel, more collateral damage that I talk about incessantly on the show, and I will not stop talking about it. Anyway, this young man, the news report showed, he has to batten down the hatches, literally, in his home. 7-year-old. He has to go. The camera shows him going from door to door in his house, putting up furniture against the doors, double locking, triple locking the doors. This is this young man's existence because he's fearful of gunshots coming through his home. He's fearful of invasion. He's fearful because he's surrounded by chaos. He's in the eye of the storm, folks. I speak up for that young man. I speak up for his deceased grandmother. That's who I speak for. So when an alleged Klansman attacks a black woman, oh, I feel pain for that, trust me. But I also see the connection with intraracial BS. And we can't talk about it. We can't talk about it. All right, so I called up Rob Redding, and I know what kind of show he conducts. He gives me the respect 95% of the time. This time, not really. When he saw that I was going in this direction, I was shut down, and even a subsequent caller dissed me, which I like. I don't mind being hated, really. So I'm comfortable in my positioning. I'm comfortable with that. You can hate me all day long. Hate me now, as Nas says. You can hate me now. Doesn't matter. I will still be right. 2 + 2 will always be 4, regardless what you say. Anyway, I want to play this clip, yours truly, on Rob Redding talking about this young woman who was burned. And incidentally, folks, damn, I hate being right. I really do. I wouldn't talk the way that I do with so much veracity if Catherine and myself, if we weren't right 99.9% of the time. Really? Really? Really, though? This woman now, turns out, it looks like it might be another Tawana Brawley-like hoax that she burned herself. The forensic evidence is showing that she might have done this herself. But when you say that 3 men in white hoodies did this, I get suspect anyway. I'm just saying. Afro Nerd on Rob Redding. Hold on.
I'm a black woman in Louisiana, another person writes, and the hate is real. This will continue until we as a people stand together and demand respect and let them know we are not the same black people from the 50s and 60s. They better call somebody. That's what they said. I agree. I'm not a nonviolent Negro. Thank you, sister. Afro Nerd, New York, you're up.
Mr. Redding.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I'm probably going to go into an area that you and your listenership might not like, but I just don't care, you know, because I'm comfortable in my positioning. Why do we make this distinction between interracial violence and intraracial violence? If there's a black folks need to be on this have a DVD player that's constantly on repeat, and I'm sick of it. This is what I mean. I hear the passion from your callers. I really do. I would say I would be a little angry. I would be. But I look at Chicago. I look at East St. Louis. I look at Camden.
Afro nerd, in your own city, the night President Obama was elected, we had a young black man who was beaten almost savagely, beaten by white men who were upset with President Obama's win. All right? The struggle in this country has never really been for black people. Let me put it this way. The main struggle in this country has never been to respect each other. All right? I still don't think that's the struggle. The struggle in this country has always been to overcome our oppressor that brought us here. That's been the struggle. And the reason why is because the system is run by the oppressor, still run by the oppressor. We're talking about subordinate versus dominant class here. The people that are the dominant class in this country, forget President Obama. I'm talking about the Rothschilds. The people that are the dominant class in this country, I don't talk about them very often. I know other shows make a living on this. Alex Jones and the rest of these guys make a living on this stuff. The dominant culture in this society is not and does not reflect that's in the White House, or on this show, or on the phone right now. They are white, they are in control, and we are still the subordinate class. What I am telling you is this. The struggle has never, ever been to respect each other. That's something we should do, but it is ingrained even from the dominant class not to do that, not to respect each other, because we separated you guys in the field from the field to the house, and as a result of that, we turn you guys against each other. That has been a part of it. The biggest part of the struggle is not making sure we don't kill each other, okay, black people on black people. The big part of the struggle is dealing with our oppressor. And when our oppressor starts to come back and now decide, because maybe the president's in office, who knows why they did what they did, that they're going to start burning our women, I have a problem with that. So, no, it's never going to be routine for me. It's never going to be a situation where I don't get upset. It's never going to be a situation where flecks of spit don't come out of my mouth towards the microphone and I'm yelling at the top of my lungs, Afro Nerd. We're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one. Thanks for your phone.
All right, folks, here's a part two. Now, listen to this caller when he calls me out. Hold on. I like being hated, by the way.
Hey, Rob. How you doing, man?
Good.
I ain't good at all. I'm like you. 2 points here. I believe that might have been some black men under the hoods, because Kevin, Afro Nerd, and Clarence Thomas, we need to check and see where they were at, because the way them guys talk, it might have been them. But here's the greater point. This little girl that gets burned over there that wanted to go to school in Pakistan, I mean, they just inundated the airways and everything with this little girl situation. You know the incident that I'm talking about, Rob.
Yeah, I remember.
And, I mean, this is what happened a week ago. And, I mean, everywhere. They're going to try to put as much water on this incident. And it's always black men, black folks, just wait and see what the details are. Somebody called and said, you need to wait on the details. They said the same thing about Trayvon. Wait on the details. Now, we need to kick somebody in the tail. I'm tired of waiting on damn details all the time. And I had a group in Birmingham called Outcast Voters League. And
all right. Enough of that. Folks, again, you know, as I said, I don't mind being hated. You know, sometimes it adds to your legend. It's okay. But, you know, he went into this Alex Haley roots argument that I'm not really comfortable in going to. We always go to that thing. I would agree with him. I know about the oppressor. I'm a black person living in the United States like he is. I'm not blind, but I also know that it is hot in the hood. And exponentially, it is worse. And if you're talking about fighting the oppressor, we need warriors to fight the oppressor. And you can't fight warriors when you're imprisoned. Last time I checked, you can't do it. So he would not allow me to elaborate, because that's the type of show. You know, once you go in a certain direction, and that's my fault. I should have eased into that, but I didn't want to do that. I caught an emotional tick that time in the opposite direction, as the captain has so aptly told me. I caught an emotional tick. And I was not Machiavellian or sly about easing into that, into the intraracial thing. But, you know, as the great Johnny Cochran said, let's not rush to judgment. There is wisdom in that. Let's not rush to judgment. And when the caller jokingly or
try to be jocular and say, it's Clarence Thomas, and let's check for Clarence Thomas and Aquador. They were probably under the hoods. Well, you know what? It wasn't the Honorable Clarence Thomas, and it wasn't Afro Nerd, but it looks like it might have been folks that shared our phenotype anyway. It looks like folks that might have shared our phenotype anyway. This is what I'm talking about. So much passion, so much anger. It's going to get hotter now, folks. It's going to get hotter. Watch me now. Captain, go into this a little bit, and let's go into this a little bit more personally as to what is really going down. The floor is yours, Captain.
Well, anytime anything happens, because we do have a judicial system, whether you feel comfortable, whether you feel that's the best system, we still do have a judicial system. We have to see all the facts. You can never rush to judgment. If you rush to judgment, then you create a situation where anarchy, bedlam, total breakdown of the system. And we know what happens when the black male gets very angry. He ends up either murdered or he ends up in prison. So that is a negative. That is an extreme negative. Negative to the umpteenth power. That you cannot do. You have to see the facts and get all the facts, then respond, because we have a judicial system. Now, to address what Mr. Rob Redding was doing and everything else, here's the whole rap on black people. Coming out of slavery, 1865, I free you. You are nothing more than a freed slave. And we embody these memes. Now, what does that mean? The freed slave looks to get back on the master's plantation. The freed slave wants massa to do for them because they are cut off from the knowledge of themselves. If you do not have knowledge of yourself, you cannot do for self. So you go crazy. You go wild. There is a breakdown in the system. Now, let me expound upon that a bit further. You have a black president. Latin people were able to go to the president and say, this is what we want. Whether he did it or not, that's open to debate. Homosexuals were able to go to the president and tell them what they want. With all the black leadership, black people have not been able to get together and go to the president and tell them what they want. With all the quote-unquote black leadership, have not been able to do it. You know why? Coming out of slavery, 1865, I free you. You are nothing more than a freed slave. So you embody those same memes. You do not have knowledge of yourself, so you cannot do for self. You are cut off. Now, talk about it some more. You see the Asian man. Why is the Asian man? Remember, two generations ago, Asian people were considered stupid. Yes, I know you're saying, well, what is the captain talking about? Asian man was not slaves. Exactly. So because he is not a slave, he wasn't a slave like that. He might have been an indentured servant, might have been a serf, other things like that. But it's not like slavery. He or she has knowledge of self. They identify with something. Sometimes they don't like each other. Japanese might not necessarily like Korean. Korean might not necessarily like Japanese. And then, Chinese might not like Japanese. But they identify with their homeland. So they have an identity. So once you have knowledge of self, you can do for self. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. Black people are always looking for people to do for them. Do for them. Because they are cut off. They do not understand. They cannot do it. And this makes the consensus of black people not that intelligent. And that's the reality of it, not that intelligent. Individually, we are extremely intelligent. But the consensus here in North America is not. It's really not. Now, we'll talk about it some more. When they turn the hoses on us, what happens? Some of you cannot remember too far back, but you'll be able to remember this. Trayvon Martin, you felt the oppressor, suppressor was on you. You was able to organize and make intelligent movements based on what happened. You see what happens when the oppressor? Now you're able to do for yourself because you're not left without any choice. Now let's back up. Going back to 1955, Birmingham, Alabama. Montgomery, Alabama. December 1st. Back of the bus, Rosa Parks. What happened there? What happened? Black people were able to organize against the suppressor oppressor, which was, of course, the bus company and the white people that owned the bus company. You were able to organize because essentially they turned the hoses on you. You got intelligent. You started to get knowledge of self. You started to do for self. So we're very powerful people, but we don't get powerful until the oppressor, suppressor, turns the hoses on you, because that's due to slavery. That is due to slavery. But here's the problem. We have to be able to get past that in order to go forward. We have to get past that where we can group together amongst ourselves and say, this is what we need to do in order to go forward. But you need knowledge of self so you can do for self. Then you can organize and say, Mr. President, this is what black people need in order to go forward. No one is doing that. You're still running wild. As much black leadership as we have, you're still running wild. So there you have it, friends. That's essentially what's going on with black people here in America today. It's real simple. If I'm white and I'm going to oppress you, you will organize. It's that simple. If I let you go, you're going to run around and kill yourself and say, screw him, screw. He got a Benz. I only got a Honda Accord. I'm not going to spend money in his shop. Even though spending money in his shop, because he has a Benz, will be able to build up the community because he might have be able to hire your knucklehead son or daughter. You see? You don't have that ability to think until the oppressor, suppressor, turns the hoses on you. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, what you said, Captain, is definitely on point, definitely correct. That's essentially what Rob Redding's argument was, but I just thought that there has to be a point in order for us to go full circle as a race, that we're going to have to be self-deprecating. That's the word of the day now, self-deprecating, self-effacing, and admit some things. And we can't be so prideful where we spite ourselves. You can't be so prideful where you can't look at your own faults. And what I'm saying is that despite this history, and we know the history is there, it's on the record, we know what has happened to us, we cannot maintain a victimized status and at the same time neglect that we are literally killing ourselves. And in this case, to the point where this young lady, from what I'm hearing now, unless reports come out otherwise, now we're hearing that this may not have gone down exactly the way that we thought it went down. And even if it did go down, even if the Klan did do this, somebody had to speak up for that young man in Chicago, his grandmother, and all these other deaths, senseless deaths that are occurring all around us. Now, a show that I've mentioned quite a few times on this show, on Sundays,
Afro Nerd, I'm not hearing you. I'm not hearing you. You might have muted. Did you mute yourself? The powers that be may have cut us off. They did not like our argument. Q-Storm, can you hear me? Can you hear me at this given time? Q-Storm, can you hear me? Can anybody in the chat room hear me? Okay, good. All right. We lost Afro Nerd. I think he's coming back in now. Hello, caller.
Captain.
Yes.
Captain.
Let's go.
Yeah, I got blanked out, man.
Yes, I see that. I said it was the powers that be. They didn't like my diatribe. Go ahead.
It had to be.
Continue.
Listen, my computers went down, sir, so you're going to have to conduct the show, you know, from the board.
Okay.
I can't do anything
okay
right now.
All
okay,
right,
that's
continue
the way it goes. Live radio, folks. What I was saying is that we know all of that with the history. Okay.
Yeah,
am I there still? Okay.
Yeah, yes, you're there. You're there.
Yeah, okay, we know the history. We know all of this. We know the history. But we still have to address these problems with our young men killing the innocents. I mean, killing anyone is a problem. But killing people just because. Now, we only have a few minutes remaining. But I do want to get into something that happened to us personally. I was talking about Open Line before the computers went down. Open Line, New York City show with James Ntoumé, those who are familiar with his work with Miles Davis and the Juicy Fruit and all that kind of stuff. Very, very respected musician. New York Undercover, he did the work for New York Undercover and that kind of thing. Anyway, his show, now they're going into this kind of thing. They're starting now to address these issues. But I find it funny that one of the parties on his show, I believe Judge Pickett, who is an attorney, Judge Pickett, he was his car was stolen a few feet from where he was standing, a Range Rover. He's a successful man. He became a little harsher in his critique of this urban craziness when he personally was affected. There's a running joke, Captain, as you know, that a Republican is a Democrat that was mugged. That's been a running joke for years.
Mm-hmm.
So where I'm going with this is that yesterday, in our own haunting grounds, ladies and gentlemen, in our own haunting grounds, the Captain and I have mentioned on many occasions we work out, we go to a local gym in the Queens-Long Island border in New York City. Walking distance from the gym, a horror show occurred. A young police officer, I believe a few days shy of 30 years old, approaches a vehicle that was involved in an accident before, a hit-and-run situation. He approaches the vehicle. He gets shot instantly by some skell of color. Shoots this man, kills him, then proceeds, after he does this, he rampages and goes and kills, carjacks and kills another man of color, another black man, for nothing, Captain. You know how this went down. For nothing. Man, middle-aged man, working man, simply talking to his daughter on the cell phone, stopped doing it legally, stopped in his car, talking to his daughter. He gets pulled out the car, shot in the head, and that animal takes the car and proceeds. And then there's a manhunt, ladies and gentlemen, in our area. This is local to where we are broadcasting now, within a few miles of where we are broadcasting. And mind you, folks, we're talking about a solidly middle-class area. You know, between the Queens and Long Island, this is the border that we're – because actually it was a police force that was brought together, the Long Island Police Force as well as NYPD. So they got together to capture this person. And he tried to take himself out, of course, and he unsuccessfully did. He did that unsuccessfully. But I sit here and I say to myself, the captain, God forbid, myself, because that's how close it was. And this is real, ladies and gentlemen. Our inner circle, our friends, our family, our gym friends, literally our inner cipher could have easily been taken and shot like nothing, like this person. No one speaks about this, okay? This is real. This is real. This gentleman was killed at a police station. I mean, I'm sorry, at a gas station that I frequent. I'm there all the time. So it could have easily been myself or one of my family members or one of my friends, what have you. It could have been. It's hellish for a stranger. But this is another black person taken out, doing the right thing. He didn't do anything, ladies. He didn't do anything. And we don't talk about this. So I'm supposed to be more angry because a white person, in this case, it doesn't look like it was that, but let's say it was a racial element involved in it. I'm supposed to be angrier somehow. I'm supposed to be angrier because he hates me because of my skin color. But this is all hate crime. It's all hate crime, Captain. How do you make the distinction? What do you think, Captain? I know the time is moving.
Well, what I wanted to address briefly was the fact in my travels, I pertained to the situation. A lot of people said to me, why was there so much emphasis on the death of the police officer and not the death on the other person that they shot? So here's the thing, what people have to understand. Whether we want to realize it or not, there's a hierarchy in everything that we do. In a utopian world, everyone is essentially the same from a liberal standpoint. In a utopian world, there is a hierarchy to everything. At the microcosmic level, Captain Kirk, in comparison his life to the president, of course I feel my life is more important. But the consensus will come in and say, no way, the president's life is more important. At the microcosmic level, my life to a police officer, of course my life is more important. But the consensus will come in and say, the police officer's life is more important. Yes, the police officer is here to protect and serve, and yes, he works for you. But the way society is set up, you have a hierarchy. And if you don't have a hierarchy, you have chaos, bedlam, anarchy, everything goes crazy. The CEO's life is more important than the person that works in the mailroom. The CEO's life is more important than the VP. That's the reality of it. And we have to have it that way. Now, you might not agree with what I say. Otherwise, society begins to fall apart. All life is precious. All life is totally precious, yes. But that's the way reporting is going to come out, because they do put a certain value system on it. And we put a certain value system on everything, believe it or not. Now, time is running out. Back over to you, Sir Afro-Nerd.
Yes, well, you know what? Was this the conversation that you had in the gym? You said it was an interesting thing that happened in the gym.
Well, yeah. Well, you could say this is part of it. Yes, definitely part of it.
Okay. You know what? Obviously, we're going to have to reconvene. You know, we didn't talk about what happened in Ole Miss, University of Mississippi. We have to get into that. Somebody has to go to Jenny Craig. I'm just saying. I'm putting it out there. We're going to talk about this on Sunday, Captain. That, and of course, we have the great Daryl B. coming through for the comic shop at 6 p.m. Check us out again, folks. Q, as always, we appreciate your support. 6 p.m. to comic shop, 7 p.m. Afternoon Radio. Seconds remaining, Captain. Let's close on out. Play anything.
All right. Let's go out with Mr. Big stuff. Heavy D.